Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Well, you know, when the healer is in the room, there's no need to specify what it is. So right now, if you have an injury in your body, you have sickness, you have an infirmity of some sort, would you just lift up your hands before the Father? He's in the room and He wants to bring healing to bodies today. Lord God, I thank You that Jesus, You are our healer. And I thank You, Lord, that You are in this room. And from the very moment, Lord God, that Your people gathered together to lift up Your name, You walked into the room and You decided that You wanted to come in the fullness of who You are to save, heal, and deliver. And so, God, right now, for every sickness, every ailment, every injury, we speak to it in the name of Jesus. We command that thing to be made right, call everything back into alignment. We declare the hand of the surgeon to go forth into bodies and correct what is wrong, remove what is rotten, and Lord, begin to heal that which needs to be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Whew, thank You, Lord. Amen, amen. Whew. Come on, why don't you give the Lord a hand? Jesus, thank You, Lord. Whew. Sometimes you got to praise Him like it's done. Come on. All right, why don't you high five the person next to you, grab your seats. And we're going to get stuck into the Word today. Thank you, worship team. Pastor Dave, you're an absolute legend. Not only can you preach the house down, but you can worship lead us into the presence of God. And I just want to thank you. I thank you and Sonia. You and Sonia are incredible. We love you. Your church loves you. Pneuma loves you. Pneuma World loves you. Our leaders love you. You guys are incredible. You have a hand of God on you that is a beautiful thing to watch. You're not hungry for anything other than Him. You're not hungry for anything, any praise of anyone. You're only ever hungry for Him and for people to encounter Him. And it's so evident through the life you live. And the way you follow Jesus, I'd follow you. So thank you. Thank you so much. Come on, show your pastor some love. Cool. Well, hey, I'm going to talk to you today. Really, what God has put on my heart for you at West here is the keys of the kingdom. And I actually had two different messages prepared to coming here that were on my heart and have been a burden that God has been stirring in my heart, and I have shared with different locations. And I was like, it'll be one of those two. Just tell the team it'll be one of those two. And Levi was like, yep. When he gets here and he's like, which one is it? And I'm like, well, the Lord woke me this morning with a very clear word. I want you to teach them about the keys of the kingdom. And I was like, okay, all right, well, this is a real short-term notice. Like, okay, Lord, let's do it. And so I'm going to share with you today a bunch of different scriptures. We're going to bounce around a little bit through scripture, but we are going to start in Matthew chapter 16. So if you do have a Bible, you can go there. It won't be on the screen because unfortunately the team, I was not able to get this to the team beforehand. But what I want to do today is I actually want to bring our awareness and full understanding to a couple of things when it comes to the keys of the kingdom. And firstly, I want to say this. You got keys in the natural, right? If I lose these keys, I become anxious. Why? Not because someone can go and steal my car, because you've got to be pretty lucky to walk out somewhere and find my car, like if you found my keys. I'm more concerned about the fact that I'm locked out of that which belongs to me. Now, I'm smart enough to realize that, you know, you put an air tag on these things these days because I do lose my keys. I can find them. It makes it easier so that I can get back into what I'm locked out of. And today I want to talk to you about the keys to the kingdom, because Matthew chapter 16 verse 19 says this. It says, and I will give you, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's one thing to have keys, but it's another thing to know what they unlock. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says that you and I have access to God, to the kingdom, through Jesus, through faith by grace in Jesus, we have access to the kingdom. Now, if I take you back on a bit of a journey, do you remember in John chapter 3, a man by name of Nicodemus? He comes to Jesus and says, well, you know, there's more to you than I can see, think and feel. He's a Pharisee, he's a Greek Pharisee, and he's leaning in and he's like, there's something more here than what's going on. And he asks Jesus his question and he says like, well, you do all these things, so we know that you have to be from God. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and born of the Spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've just talked about keys. Jesus has said to Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. The key to the kingdom is the gospel. It is through Jesus that we get access to the kingdom of God. But keys are only ever any good if you know what they unlock. And so if you know that the gospel, one of the keys to the kingdom is the gospel, it is being born again. That sounds like a really weird terminology. And back in the 90s, it was probably overused. And you used to get told, oh, you're part of that born again crew, aren't you? I'm like, yes. But the concept is this. When Genesis in chapter 3, Adam and Eve were in the garden. They ate of fruit of the tree of evil. Of knowledge. And so God said to them, you will die. Now, when that happened, did they die? No. Why didn't they die? God wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death. And so when he said that they would die, it wasn't the nature of their physical body dying. It was their spirit man dying. And when their spirit man died, it meant they had no longer communion with God. They could no longer be in relationship with him. They used to walk and talk with him in the cool in the garden of night. And it was a beautiful thing that they had. And when God walked back into the garden and said to Adam, 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 where are you? It wasn't because Adam, God had gone blind all of a sudden and couldn't find Adam. He wanted Adam to recognize, Adam, do you realize because you ate of the fruit, now that you're separated from me, you are hiding yourself from me. Do you recognize where you are? Because I'm in the same place I've always been, in the cool of the garden of the night, looking for you. Walking to be with you. And so when that part of us died inside of us, it is that which is born again. And so the gospel is the key to the kingdom of heaven. It is the first key to the kingdom of heaven. When you come to faith in Christ, literally your spirit man is born again. And Nicodemus is like, well, how can a person be born again? And Jesus says to him, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. One was you can't see, one was you can't enter. He was trying to help him understand that there is a natural birth that takes place, but there is a spiritual birth that is required. And you know, when that spirit man comes to life, everything changes in the way you live. Because Father in heaven says, now you're my son or my daughter. In relationship, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Now it's up to you to work out what that unlocks. But you know what's really, really crazy is that we can get so caught up in our own religious life that we live a life that's like, oh, you know, I've got my Christian world, I got my Christian family, I got my little Bible, I got my ticket to heaven, I'm good. But you know when you have keys, you can give other people access? The whole purpose of us having the keys of the kingdom of heaven is not just so that we could live in some airy-fairy float-in-the-cloud sky of like tickle-me-elmo moments and I feel great because I'm in the presence of God. Those keys to the kingdom are to unlock things here on earth as it is in heaven. He said, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. The whole purpose of you having keys is so that you can have access, but so you can take others with you. Because you know what keys mean? They give you an authority. Keys give you authority. They give you access. They give you ownership. Now, if I give my keys to Gabby and I say, Gabby, I need you to run up into my house and I need you to grab such and such and do such and such and then come back down, she can take my keys if I give them to her and she can go get access to something she otherwise would not have had access to. Do you know that there are people in your world that are waiting for access to the kingdom of God because God wants to bring it through you? That's his desire. He wants you to take the authority that you have been given. He said, Matthew 28:19, I have been given all authority and all power, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's like, here's the keys, honey. Take the car, go. You've got access. Oh, this is amazing. You know what's even better than this? Is that anyone, I've still got keys to my parents' place. Does anyone still have keys to their parents' place? I'm 45 and I'm like, I've still got keys to my parents' place, right? And so like I can go to my parents' place and I can open up the door and I can walk in and I can help myself and let myself in. And I, you know, that's what's crazy? I still go back to my parents' place and I still walk over to the fridge and I open up the fridge like I live there. And you know, sometimes it's not even a matter about what I can get out of the fridge. It's just that I've got access. And sometimes I find myself standing at the fridge going, why am I at the fridge? Like, what do I need for the fridge? And I shut the fridge and I walk away. And then I come back in and I open the fridge again, I open the pantry again. But you know what's crazy? Is that God has given you an all open access to the kingdom of God, and all that which belongs in the kingdom belongs to you. You have the keys to the home. You have access to a pantry, to a fridge that has things in it. You know what, great, when I was a teenager, I used to bring all my friends over from school. We used to hang out, we used to have lunch. We had these things, we had the lunch passes. We lived a kilometer from the house, from the school. And so you could walk home and you could have lunch at home and you could bring your friends. We would bring our friends. My house would be like a party house at lunchtime. And my mum had to pull me aside. She's like, Cherie, honey, I just need to help you understand something here. I don't mind you bringing your friends, but they need to bring their lunch. She goes, because I don't have an income to pay for the whole yard to come to our house and eat from my pantry and eat from my fridge. And so like, I was like, oh, okay, all right. And so like, we started doing a door charge, like to come to my house for lunch. You want to come to my house for lunch? It's going to, you know, rather than lunch break at school, you come to my place. Anyway, and it was wild because we had free access to the fridge and it was awesome. Do you know that there are things in heaven that you have access to? That you can have a party of friends over and say, hey, my God has this in the pantry. My God has this in the fridge. Let's bring it out and serve it up for everyone to eat of it. Oh, I'm telling you, it's wild. The keys that he has given to you, the access that he has given to you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for the select few that they might go, wow, let me lay hands on you and impart. No. God gives good gifts to his children. They are sitting in the pantry. And I want you to imagine right now, but there's a pantry right here. And in that pantry are all the things that are in heaven that are yours. The gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of faith, of healing. The gifts of discernment, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift. What gifts? What's in the pantry that you're like, I really would love that? My mum had this special box she had locked away in the pantry, and it was this really cool box that had like a lock on it, and it was filled with all the treats that you weren't allowed to have access to at any time you wanted to, because they were kind of like, you know, mum just needs to manage how much sugar you're going to have, how much trash you're going to eat, right? And so my mum would have this little box that she'd put aside, and she would put all the little sweet treats and different things in it. And there were some times where I'd have to come to mum and I'd say, hey, mum, I don't want just a sandwich. I don't want just a cookie. But mum, can I have this? And I would come to my mum, and my mum, when it was at the right time and the right purpose, she would give me the access to the treats. And sometimes there are gifts and things that are in the kingdom of God that you and I actually have to come and ask for. But they're not locked away because he wants to keep them from you. They're locked away for purpose. They're locked away for intentionality of something for somebody else. What are you missing out on today because you won't go to the pantry or maybe you won't actually ask? You have access. You have the keys. And the beautiful thing is that sometimes it's just a matter of walking on in, taking what you want, and other times it's a matter of coming in and asking the Father. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, that we should pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And can I be really honest with you? I feel like sometimes we flip it around the wrong way. Wow. Where we desire love and we pursue the gifts. He intensively and intentionally said, pursue love and desire the gifts. Do you know out of a love relationship with the Father, he actually wants to give you things from heaven, not just for yourself, but for others. And those gifts are part of it. Now, to pursue love and desire gifts is a very good thing. And I want to encourage us today to lean into that which God has promised and given us access to. He's not a God in heaven looking to swat your hand. He's not a God in heaven looking to, you know, smack you over the head for asking something so brazen, like, could I, God, be given the gift of faith or the gift of miracles so that I could pray for somebody else? It's love for him, from him, to bring that to somebody else. Guys, seriously, what are we missing out on? See, unfortunately, come with me to Matthew chapter 23. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes we can have the keys in our pockets and we can be like, well, no one's getting any of that. And we have keys in our pockets, but we don't actually use them, or we just walk around with them in our pockets and we know that they're there, but we don't actually take access to what we need, or we don't give access to others. And Jesus has a very frank conversation with the Pharisees about this very thing. See, the Pharisees are representative of religious people who knew God through Scripture but didn't actually know the God of Scripture, didn't have relationship with him, and didn't necessarily walk with an intentionality understanding. All of these things that we have and have access to, I can actually walk out without having to walk in a religious nature. And Jesus has this conversation with them in chapter 23 of Matthew, and it's called the seven woes. And there's seven different things that the Lord actually says, woe to you Pharisees, you religious people. In verse 13, he says this, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Are we opening doors for people or are we shutting doors? Are we opening doors? Are we shutting doors? I live in an apartment and have the pleasure of having lots of different neighbours and lots of different conversations and different things. And I live on a floor that others can get access to because of the amenities that are on that particular floor. And so for me, it's not too difficult to get up if I got locked out or something had happened. And so I can get up to my floor, can't get into my house unless I have a key. But if I've left the door unlocked and I've gone down, and I can get back up to that level if someone gets into the lift. But you know, some people, because they don't know who I am, and I say, hey, listen, can you just swipe so I can press number one? They just look at me as if to say, who are you? No. And I live on this floor, I've just left my keys. And they're like, likely story. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm just, and so some of them are like, no access for you. Now I get it, but I'm like, I just need access. How many people are we like excluding from the kingdom because they don't measure up? How many people are we like, oh no, it's not for you because you don't or you do? There's one time I got in the lift and I locked myself out, and one of the ladies was kind enough to let me in. She didn't ask any questions. She didn't. She just looked at me and, look at this. I mean, how could you not deny it? And she let me in, and I got up and I turned around and I said, thank you so much. She's like, no problem. You know, there are so many people out there right now that are actually waiting for you to walk up and be like, bloop, access. You have the keys. Are we opening or are we shutting doors? Now, I've got to be really honest with you. I've had keys and I have a car. Well, actually, let's wind it back. Let's take it back to Cherie 25 years ago. 20, rolling around in a VS Commodore for anyone who rolls with Holdens. Man, that thing was pimped. I had 6x9s. I had tweeter speakers. I had 12-inch subs in the back. I had blown up amps. Like, I had it all, y'all. I was like Ave Maria. Right? So I'm rolling. I roll into town and I get into town, I get what I need, and I come back to my car and I unlock my car and I get into it and I put the key in and I try to turn the car over and it won't turn. And it's stuck and I'm like, oh, come on. I'm jiggling the steering wheel. You know, if you give the steering wheel just a bit of a jiggle, sometimes it'll come free. It wouldn't come free. I'm like, what is going on? Did I pick up someone else's key? No, it's my key. It unlocked it. I'm like, oh. And that's how some of you feel. You feel like you've got the key, but it's jammed. And you're like, I don't even know how to get this or fix this. And so rather than using the key, fixing the key or doing something, you just take the key out, lock the car, put your key in the pocket and walk away from everything that's yours to share with somebody else. But God, you need to know. You need to know that God doesn't want you to feel like your key is jammed or stuck. Funnily enough, I called my dad and I said, hey, Dad, I'm down the street and I can't seem to get my car to start. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, I put the key in, it won't go anywhere. He said, is it the right key? And I said, well, I got here. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll come down. So my dad comes down, he meets me down the side of the road and he gets out of the car, comes over, grabs the key and puts it in there and tries to turn over. He's like, you're right. And I was like, I do. And he says, all right, come back to the car with me. So I walk back with him to his car. And to my surprise, he pulls out a bottle of olive oil. And I just looked at my dad and I said, Dad, anointing my car is not going to fix it. Right? Literally, I'm like, Dad, seriously. He's like, ah, well, let's wait and see, shall we? He walked back over to the car with me and he grabbed my key. He poured out oil over the key. He gave it a good wipe with some paper towel, poured oil over it again, and then he stuck it into the ignition. Vroom, vroom, brroom. And literally that thing turned over. Why? Because oil unlocks locked, jammed up locks. Come on. Seriously, you need to know this. What is preventing you from going out and doing what God has called you to, giving others access to the things that God has and to the resources of the kingdom of God, the pantry that he has, the fridge of stuff that he has for you and for them? The reason is you're jammed up and you can't figure out what to do with it. Rather than put the key back in your pocket and pretend it's going to be fine, why don't you come back to the Father and say, Dad, could you put some oil on this? Could you put some oil on this? Because my Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that you are anointed. Yes. You are anointed. You know what that means? It means oil runs over you. And if you're dry, the only thing you need to go to do is go to the Father and say, Father, oil me up. oil me up and unlock this thing so I can bless others. Unlock this thing so I can give access to others. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life jammed up. I don't want to live my life when I know that there's this in heaven, but it's not here on earth. I believe more than ever that there are so many things that we would see here on this earth if only we would engage and lean in and say, okay, as it is on in heaven, so it shall be on the earth. I declare it, I release it, and I give access to it in Jesus' name. Oh, friend, you need to know that God says, Jesus says that you're anointed. 1 John 2:20. But then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through to 22, the Father says that he has anointed you through the seal of the Holy Spirit, through the guarantee. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Holy Spirit himself dwells within you. You know what that means? You are a pot of oil ready to go. Friend, I'm telling you right now, you have been given access. You have been given the keys to the kingdom. You who have been born again and born of the Spirit have the first key, the gospel, to be able to give that to others, to be able to give access to others, to be able to give time and energy to someone who needs that. And there are way more people out there that need that than you and I could ever perceive or imagine. And I'm not talking about a Jesus that just comes in and says, hey, your sins are forgiven. I'm talking about a Jesus who says, you know what? You are healed, you are delivered, and you are set free. You are forgiven. He's not just interested in giving a people a ticket to heaven. He's looking for a people who will recognize that they have access to heaven and they're going to be heaven on earth as they walk. I know about you, but that's part of the family of God that I want to be a part of. That's where I want to operate. See, sometimes we actually just need to call Dad. Hey, Dad, I'm stuck. Would you come? Would you come? And he might ask you to do something that seems real crazy. It's like I'm expecting my dad to pull the tools out, pull it out, fix it, do what he needs to do. Like, no, no. He grabs what seems completely ridiculous and does something different. Now, there's miracles that are yet to be unlocked. There is faith that is unlocked. There's healings to be unlocked. There is knowledge and wisdom. And there are like, all the gifts of the Spirit are yours that are there for you to access. God wants to unlock it so it can flow through you. He wants to flow through you. It's not for the elite few. It's for every believer. For everyone that is called upon the name of the Lord and has been saved. You have been saved so that you can save others. Wow. Okay, all right. Let's catch this. So John chapter 4, there's a conversation after the conversation with Nicodemus that Jesus then leaves because the Pharisees are having a little turny turn over what he's been talking about. And it says to them in verse 2, it says that Jesus was going to go to Galilee, but he had to go to Samaria. Do you remember that? Yeah. And the woman at the well, and he meets her, has this crazy encounter with her. Where she is like completely like, whoa, hang on a something. There's more to you than there that I realize. Do you remember that? Yep. Right? And then there's this conversation that plops right there in the middle of it. Have you ever had a moment where you have a conversation where you're like, did I miss something? Like, did I miss something? So a friend of mine started dating and she went to dinner with a friend and didn't realize it was a date. She was like, have I missed something? In his mind, it was a date. In her mind, that was dinner, right? Have you ever missed something? Have you ever just like been like, I missed something here? Well, in this passage, I came to it and I asked God, am I missing something here? Because we've got this passage about the woman at the well. She's having this crazy encounter with the Lord. And then it comes to this point where Jesus just decides to drop a bomb of a message. Have you ever noticed it? Has anyone ever seen it? John chapter 4. Right? And in the middle of it, this is what happens. He's just had a crazy encounter with this woman. And the woman says to him in verse 25, she's like, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, this is a really good time to do an altar call. But he goes into this. And I'm like, God, did I miss something? Check this out. He says, at this point, his disciples came to him. They marveled and said, he's talking to a woman. No one ever said, why do you seek or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So this is part of the conversation. Then he went out of the city and he came to him. And in the meantime, the disciples urged him saying, Rabbi, you should eat some food. Because why? The disciples had gone into Samaria, the town, to get food. She had come from Samaria to a well to get water. She did that in the middle of the day where no one could see her, where no one could find her, because she was filled with shame and condemnation because of her lifestyle. She was so well known, she would stay away from the time at which all the other women would come, and it was just that time of day. Jesus just happens to be there. Now the disciples come back and he says to them, I have food. This is really confusing. The disciples are like, we went into town to get some food, y'all. Like, it's like, did the woman bring you food? This is a conversation. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months to the harvest and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives the wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that he who both sows, he reaps may rejoice together. For in the same saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored, and others have labored and entered into their labors. Rolls in. And many Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Now, are you ever confused about, like, did I miss something? Why is this just dropped in the middle of this passage? Goes on and says that she went into the town, into the Samaritans, and she told them, and they urged him to stay with them, and they stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you've said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now, check this. The disciples went into the city Samaria to get food. They came back with the natural. The woman came out of Samaria, the place she was trying to hide from, the people she was trying to hide from, came to Jesus, encountered him, left her water pot and ran back into town with a supernatural and unlocked a whole city for salvation. Did you catch that? The disciples had the key. They went into the city of Samaria and did not reap. And Jesus says, others have gone in to labor, and they're going to reap. And she walks into the town with the key of the gospel, Jesus, a whole city comes to him because of her story. What miracles are you missing out on in your life, or what others are not getting saved in and around your life because you haven't shared your story? The gospel, the key. Because God's given you keys to cities. He's given you keys to cities. What are you missing out on? Let's rewind a bit. Go back to John chapter 2. Do you remember the conversation Jesus is having with his mother? Do you remember that conversation? He goes to a wedding. He's hanging out with his disciples and they're at a wedding, and Jesus' mum comes to him and says, hey, they ran out of wine. Now, she didn't say that because of any other reason than she knew that Jesus was coming into who he was. And she says, we ran out of wine. He's like, well, woman, what is this to do with me? Now, it wasn't like, woman, what's this to do with me? It was woman distinguishing not my mother, but the woman who's calling it my destiny out. And in that moment, she doesn't do anything else. She trusts him with the outcome. She trusts him with everything and literally just says to the servants, do whatever he says to do. Do whatever he says. And literally, they go away, they fill up the water pots as Jesus instructs them to. It makes no sense. He says, go get water. They need wine. Jesus ever ask you to do something that doesn't make any sense? They go out, they get water, they don't bring it back half-filled going, well, maybe you can just mix some stuff in there, put a bit of plonk on the side, stir it up, and there you go, wine. No, no. They bring it straight back to Jesus, and the word says it was filled to the brim. And in that moment, Jesus is like, okay, now there's no stirring, there's no adding. Literally, Jesus says to them, now take a scoop of that which you know is water in their minds, take it and take it to the master of the feast. They literally take it to the master of the feast. He tastes of it and says, whoa, hold the party. You saved the best till last. Now, there's a whole new covenant, old covenant story that locked in all this, but what I want you to hear is this. Because they did what he said, they saw a miracle. Yeah. What miracles are you missing out on because we haven't listened to the first part? Wow. There's miracles of salvation. There's miracles of healing. There's miracles that God wants to unlock in and through you. And the only thing that's required is do as he says. Right. Do you understand how much you have and how much authority you have and what you've been given? He has given you all authority. He has given you all access. He has given you all ownership. Some of you guys are like, you're living with keys to mansions. You guys are living with keys to like fridges for multitudes. If only you would choose to blip, access, thank you, and distribute. Oh. Seriously, you have the keys to the kingdom and all that's actually required is that you would do what he says. Oh, the beautiful thing about John chapter 2 is that once Jesus is finished with that party and the disciples, he and his family and the disciples gather together to go to the town that next have needs. And Jesus starts his ministry. He goes from the place. He didn't stay in the place of the miraculous. They didn't all hover around the pots and be like, let's have a little miracle kumbaya party. Stay here where the water always turns to wine. No, no, no. They went out to continue the work that God had. And where's the Lord leading? What's the next steps? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 25 says this. It says, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. I remember I was in year 8. I had this guy in my high school that I really liked. His name was Daniel. And he was my little high, sweet heart crush, sweetheart, whatever you want to call it. And we had to do this thing at year 8 called the dance. You know, you do the year 8 dance. Back then they made you learn how to do the waltz and they were gay dancers, but we had to learn them. And I can't dance if my life depended on it. I got no coordination. And so, like, I'm, like, stamping on his feet and I've got nothing to give. Like, this is not doing any favours to me. And literally my dad says to me, he says, Sheree, let me teach you how to dance. And I was like, okay. And so I started at home with my dad trying to learn how to do the waltz and learn how to do these different dances. I still can't do it. And and so I'm like standing on his feet and he's like, I'm like, oh, sorry. He's like, just don't focus on what you're trying to do. Just follow me. I'm like, okay, all right. And he's like, look, hop on my feet and let me lead you. You just go light as a feather and let me lead you. And he started to lead me. And all of a sudden, I found myself doing this dance and learning these steps. Wow. And I was able to do it. Why? Because I was led by him. I'm telling you right now, God wants to do way more through you than you realize. And the only thing that is dependent is you leaning into him, leaning into his purpose for your life and following him and staying just step by step with him. It's actually sometimes quite scary to step out. But it's the most liberating feeling ever. I've got so many different stories I could share with you, like just moments where it's been like, hey, can I do this? Can I share this? Can I say this? And I've been petrified and out of nowhere, the Lord has done a miracle. Out of nowhere, God has done something that has diverted their attention from what was to who he is. And he does stuff and he blows our minds away. But there are people that are longing for this. We've got people coming to services in at the altars and stuff in prayer, getting saved in prayer before the word's even ever preached. People are hungry and you have keys to the pantry. You've got access. All that's required is do as he says and then let him lead you. Let him do the dance of life with you. A couple of weeks ago, I preached at City Location and the Lord showed me that very thing in an image. And then he showed me as I was dancing with him, he showed me as he had me on the platform and he literally just whisked me off and did this twirl thing and twirled me out to the side and said, "There, someone with back pain." And I was like, okay, all right. And I was sitting in my seat just worshiping, and then he twirled me off again and then twirled me off into another section and said, "A woman with an issue with her abdomen and her womb." And then I was like, okay, all right. And then whisked me off down another aisle and said, "Here, there's a person here with eyesight issues." And then there was another one, and that was something that was to do with women. I can't even remember what it was, but it was something about breastfeeding. What was it? Mastitis. And I didn't even know what it was. And I was like, that's really weird. And no one raised their hand. I know why. And I was like, yeah, okay, awesome. And he showed me these things. But you know what was crazy? He then said to me, "Shreya, now I want you to actually call that out." And I was like, whoa. Because in your head, like, I'm the same as you. But what if nobody stands? What if they don't listen? What if no one wants to hear? What if? But what if they do? What if they do? Friend, you have people in your world that don't know Jesus. Yeah. The two best questions that you can ask them that will give them access: have you ever, and would you like to? Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever considered God? Have you ever thought? Have you ever heard of healing? Have you ever, would you like to? Two of the most liberating questions. Have you ever given your life to Jesus and would you like to? Have you ever and would you like to gives access to others like nobody, nothing else. Yeah. I just want to encourage you, church. This church doesn't exist just to have a holy huddle on Sunday. Yeah. This church exists to make a difference in the West. This church exists to reach people who need to be reached. This church exists to take the good news of the gospel and share it with those who don't know him. And watch as miracles unflow. Ooh. Hey, if you're recognizing that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God who has access to everything but has had your keys in your pocket for way too long, and maybe they're a bit dusty and got a bit of bum fluff on them, maybe it's time to ask Dad to pull out the oil. If you want to step out with the keys that God's given you, I'm going to ask you just to stand before him, because I believe that something's going to get broken off you and that he's going to pour out and he's going to give you a fresh touch of his presence and a fresh touch of oil that is going to lubricate you for all that he has called you to, and it's going to open up the pantry. It's going to open up the fridge of heaven, and you're going to find yourself in places and spaces where from the pursuit of love, as you desire the spiritual gifts, you're going to start to see them activated. There's so much he wants to give out today. I can't even stop on one of them. It would have been enough to stop at one, but God was like, no, all of these things are here in the room to be activated today. So that's you. I'm just going to ask you to stand. So Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you tell us that we have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you for the key of the gospel that unlocked our hearts and our lives and changed and transformed us. We thank you, God, for our salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that which we know we have received of, we know that it is not just for us for consumption, but it is us for to be able to be carriers of the good news for others and be deliverers of good news, to be ones who would allow access to others to the kingdom of God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening